You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And finally, we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a $25 entry to use in the Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And finally, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that you need to download the SGPN app. It is available both in the App Store and the Google Play Store now, so don't wait around. Just go on over there and download it today.
Hi-yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome back to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 55. So obviously it has to go out to the Cookie Monster, Dikembe Mutombo. So this one's for you, Mr. Mutombo, and welcome back, or welcome here for the first time, perhaps. I am your host, Jeff Fox. I write and edit for sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and I run the MMA-manifesto.com, and I have with me, on air, a associate co-host. You know him as the king of the Gogo Plata, toughest purple belt in history, I think is what he says. And he's a really swell guy. His name's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, we kept it short again, which means the picks are probably bad.
Nope, the picks are going to be good because we killed it last with our UFC 264. We killed it. Hey, what an event that was, eh? Didn't you? What was your favorite part of UFC 264 last week?
You know, it's just hard to say. It was great from top to bottom.
It sure was. Reason I'm saying that is we are recording this in advance because as you listen to this, I will be off the grid in a way and not trusting the internet connection to record. So we're actually doing this preview a week in advance. The preview in question would be for UFC on ESPN, Makhachev versus Moises, also known as UFC on ESPN 26. I think I'm going to be calling it UFC Vegas. What are we up to? 31, I think?
I think it's 32. I think it's 32.
Is it? Okay. You very well could be right. Let me see. Except you're not. You could be right, except you're not. It's 31, Dan.
So close.
Yes, Dan. That's, Dan gets things wrong, everyone, just so you know. Actually, he doesn't. He's on the show. He's basically the man with all the facts. I just make my picks willy-nilly, seemingly, and he has factual reasons for his picks, but once again, I actually come out on top. My picks are a little more accurate than yours, Dan, so you may win more money, but I'm more correct more often. So anyhow, I always struggle to speak on these shows, and it's even worse now that I just did a full episode, UFC 264, where we gave you all the winners. So let's just get right down to this event. This is a short notice for a headliner fight. It was supposed to be Max Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez, but Holloway was pulled from the belt due to injury. They expect to still have Holloway Rodriguez to fight one another, but they haven't announced when or where or any of that stuff yet. So this lightweight belt, Islam Makhachev versus Thiago Moises, has been bumped up to the headliner slot. Not really much of a fight card. It doesn't matter when you're a degenerate and you gamble $100 in every fight, which is what we tell you to do. It actually really doesn't matter to you on paper how good a fight card is. You can always find winning picks. But do you agree, Dan? This card is kind of lacking. When you, it might be good for nerds like us who watch everything, but for the casual fan, there's really not many reasons to tune into this one.
No, this is a tough one in terms of the casual fan, unless, like you said, you're a DGen who wants to make a whole bunch of money,
which everyone listening is pretty much. I guess the one reason Misha Tate's return may be enough to get some casuals to tune in, but we'll have to wait and see when we get to it. So as of now, like I said, this is like what, a week, almost a week and a half out from the fight card. We have 11 fights scheduled. We had a Phil Haas versus Darren Wynn fight, but Wynn has been pulled from it, and it's still up in the air at this point whether or not they'll find a replacement for Haas or not. So we'll just break down the fights that we actually know are going to happen, and then we will go from there. We'll start with heavyweights. Oh, I forgot to look this up. Is this a chunky guy fight or not, Dan? Alan Badeau and Rodrigo Nascimento.
This is a chunky guy fight. This would be a chunky guy fight. Correct.
In my haste to get all the material ready for the show, I forgot to mark down whether or not this is a chunky guy fight. And I also didn't tell Dan what fights we were going to break down. So hopefully he's got, like I said, he always, no matter what I throw at him, he seems to have an answer. So, I'm sure he has a winner for you here. So I'll stop the rambling. Let's break it down. So it's Alan Badeau.
Right? Yeah, I think it's Badeau.
Listen to you and your pronunciations. Rodrigo Nascimento. Really, his real name's like what? Rodrigo Nascimento Ferrero, I think, or something like
that. Correct. But the key is his nickname. It's Zegomilia.
Yes. Zegomilia, which means that hive or the hive. Is that right?
Nope. I'm almost positive.
I looked
positive.
It up and it said hive.
I'm almost positive it's Yogi Bear.
Yes, that's better.
I believe that's the Brazilian name for Yogi Bear.
Oh, that's amazing. And he's going up against the Black Samurai, who spells samurai very strangely. So obviously, Yogi Bear is the winner here for the nickname game. Agreed?
Yes, I would agree, yes.
All right. Instead of Yogi, I will break down Boo Boo first. He's 8-2 with 7 knockouts. Or this actually would be the Ranger. If he's going up against someone, I guess this would be Ranger. What's his name? Ranger?
You got me beat. Yeah, I don't know. Really? I don't know who.
You don't have Yogi? Your kids aren't in the Yogi Bear phase yet?
They are not, no.
Is that a thing, Yogi Bear phase nowadays? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to it. But they are not yet there.
Black Samurai, 8-2 with 7 knockouts. He's 0-1 in the UFC where he got TKO'd. He's an inch taller, plus 285. Yogi Bear, 8-1, 2 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's 1-1 in the UFC. He got knocked his last fight. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's got an inch of reach, around, according to their last weigh-ins, he should be around 11 pounds heavier. 4 years younger. He's got striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's 2 times more active landing strikes. And like I said, striking stats, when you take into account accuracy and defensive metrics, he is the better striker on paper. He's also the better grappler. He's at minus 310. He seems to be the obvious pick for me. Minus 310 in heavyweight fights, kind of a no-no, but I'll he's my pick to win the fight.
Yeah, I'm going to take Nascimento, too. I think for me here, the big difference maker is just like Badeau, you know, not for anything, Badeau seems to be get easy to knock out. And I don't say that lightly at heavyweight. I mean, like, obviously Aspinall got him, too. But if you go back to his last loss before that, it's Dalcha Lugiambula, who now fights at middleweight, and he knocked him out in 26 seconds. I mean, like, if you count those last two of his last 4 fights as being knocked out, and one of them he won by DQ, like, he's actually, you know, would be 1-3 in his last 3 with only a win over a guy who's 0-2. So I don't think actually all that highly of Badeau, but I do think Nascimento has got a lot of potential. He did get knocked out by Chris Daukaus, but that seems to be pretty easy to do now. But the 2 submission wins he had before that over Dontel Mays and Michel Martinik were both really impressive. And before that, he was fighting for jungle fights, which sometimes has some good fights in it and sometimes doesn't. But, like, ultimately, I think he's a much more polished striker. I think he's got the submission game in his back pocket. And, like you said, he's going to be the bigger guy, too.
Yep. As long as Badeau doesn't bring a picnic basket into the cage to distract him, I think he wins this one, right?
Yeah, that's I know that much about Yogi Bear.
that's the one weakness. All right, we go from the big boys to the little boys. Flyweights, Francisco Figueiredo versus Malcolm Gordon. Figueiredo, Sniper, Malcolm X Gordon. Malcolm X, you're stealing some of his nicknames, so I'm going to go with Sniper.
Yeah, I think that's a better nickname. Malcolm X is, it's kind of got a weird, that's a weird one for a fight nickname, too, I think.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right, so Gordon, 12-5 with 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, which is pretty crazy considering he's a flyweight. You don't get a lot of – plus he finishes a lot of fights, which is also crazy for lighter weight fighters, flyweights in particular. He's 0-2 in the UFC. He was finished in both those fights. He got knocked out in his last fight. He was 1-0 in Bellator before this. He's an inch taller, has 2 inches of reach, plus 240. Figueiredo, the brother of former champion, Davison Figueiredo, he's a sniper. He's 12-3-1 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 7 submissions, 1-0 in the UFC. We're talking about small sample size, but he's got striking stats, and he's 4 times more active striking than Gordon. Grappling stats also in his favor, minus 325. This is another easy pick for me. Figueiredo is the one.
Yeah, and I went big underdogs for a lot of last week, which, as you guys are listening to this, went swimmingly. But yeah, I'm not going with dog on either of these first two. I think Figueiredo here, I mean, like, he's just going to be so much better than Malcolm Gordon on the feet. And if Malcolm Gordon can get it down, I think the jiu-jitsu matches may be interesting, but I don't think he even has enough of an advantage on the ground that he's going to get a submission. And to be honest, I don't even think he's really going to get it down.
There you go. See, we're ripping through these picks for you. It's going to be. It's not because we already recorded a podcast. We want to get out of here fast. It's just because we have all these winning picks just, you know, on the tip of our tongues. We can't keep them in any longer. All right, let's move on to what should we do next? Let's do what weight class are we talking about? Bantamweights. Khalid Taha, Sergey Morozov. Is that the fight I want to do next? No, I'm sorry. I want to do Jones and Dos Santos next. So that would be bantamweight. It would be Miles Johns and Anderson Dos Santos. So Anderson Dos Santos' nickname is Berenja, which is eggplant, and Jones is Chapo, which is, once again, you stole someone else's nickname, so I'm going with eggplant because that's a ridiculous nickname.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going with eggplant. I don't think I'm ever going with eggplant.
Yeah, eggplant's gross, though. I don't like – oh, fine. You can go Chapo. You tell El Chapo that you like the guy that stole his nickname. You go right ahead. You tell him that. Let me see. Let's go with eggplant first. 21-8, 5 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He won his last fight via submission after losing his first two. He's got 4 inches of reach. He's at plus 162. Miles Johns. I have Jones written down, but I know his name is not Jones. It's Johns. And he's out of Fortis MMA, right?
He is a Fortis MMA guy.
you know who we're going to pick here, guys. He's 11-1, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions, so he's not a finisher. If you're going to pick him, you probably want to pick him via decision, although he did win his last fight via knockout, so who am I to say? He's won 2 of his last 3, and like I said, last one via knockout. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series, 2 inches taller, 9 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor is minus 170. I've been stealing all the picks early, but we'll let you go with the pick here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miles Johns. I think you knew, you always knew I was going to, but yeah, I think he's a pretty easy pick here too. I just think, you know, a lot of people wrote him off on that loss. You know, he does have one career loss, and I think a lot of people saw that loss and were like, is he as good as we thought he was? But it's a flying knee, and it's not only a flying knee, but it's a flying knee to Mario Bautista, who, you know, has looked pretty damn good in his own career, with the exception of losses to Trent Jones and Corey Sandhagen, who are, you know, both looking like killers in the UFC. So, he had that nasty uppercut to Kevin Atividad. He out-wrestled Cole Smith. You can go back to his Contender Series win over Richie Santiago, who's a Northeast guy who I know a whole bunch about. Like, pretty impressive wrestling for Miles Johns, and I kind of expect him to just roll in that kind of way against Anderson Dos Santos here, who I will say, very exciting, fun to watch, just not going to be able to deal with John's power or John's ability to take you down if he needs to.
Minus 170 is actually a pretty decent number for John's, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think there's value right there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so easy one so far for us. Let's see if it gets harder with the aforementioned bantamweights, Khalid Taha and Sergey Morozov. Taha's the warrior. Morozov is no nickname, so we'll go with the warrior, obviously. Morozov, 16-5 with 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's 0-1 in the UFC. Before entering the UFC, he was the champ in M1 over in Europe, a highly respected league over there. He's an inch taller, plus 135 on the board as we record this. Taha, 13-3 with 1 no contest, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's 1-2 in the UFC with 1 no contest. He did fail a drug test his last fight, I think, and it was for performance-enhancing drugs, I believe. Am I correct there? Or don't you remember?
Oh, man, I don't want to...
I think it was.
I actually think that was 2 fights ago, too. It wasn't last
was it 2 fights?
Fight?
Okay.
He did get beat by Raoni Barcelos his last time out. And that,
right.
I think that loss stuck, but I think you're thinking of the win over Bruno Silva got overturned.
That's right.
October of 19, I think.
Yeah. It was for diuretics, but he said it was a medicine. So take that for what it's worth. Sure it was. It always is. It was Tate and Neat. All right, he was in Ryzen before over in Japan where he's 1-1. He's got 2 inches of reach, 3 years younger. He's got striking stats in his favor and 3 times more active striker, plus grappling stats in his favor, but this is based off of one fight Morozov had in the UFC. He's at minus 170. What are you thinking on this one?
I think I'm going to go with Morozov here.
Me too. Wow.
Yeah. Look at us on the same page. And you're right, the stats look bad because he fought Umar Nurmagomedov, who is pretty good, and if I remember correctly, I actually think I might have taken Morozov in that fight, if I'm being honest, or at least debated it because he had a huge number next to his name, right? Like, I think it was, like, plus 400 or something like that. But, his last 2 losses are to Movsar Evloev and Umar Nurmagomedov. He was a M1 champ, am I right about this? M1 bantamweight champion, and he beat Josh Riddinghouse, who's in the Ultimate Fighter right now. He's actually fighting next week. He fought some good guys while in M1 as well, and everything's the same. Like, look, he's got a great counter, counter striking. He lands on the chin. He's willing to throw flying knees. The other thing too is I think his body lock takedowns are a difference maker here because Taha's got pretty shitty defensive wrestling. He winds up on his back quite a bit, so you got a guy from one of those Caucasus regions. Who you know can wrestle a little bit, and he's, like I said, got good body lock and upper body takedowns here, and I think that's probably enough to get him by Taha just controlling, and I also think if it does go that way, I think he could probably knock him out too, you know, like it wouldn't really surprise me to Morozov do that either.
You said cock. Kiss. you did. But we're both going Morozov here. I like the value in it, plus 135 for him, too. I think he's being undervalued because of his debut. He had a tough debut, but we'll take the plus money, no problem. All right, women's strawweights, Amanda Lemos versus Montserrat Ruiz. Ruiz is Conejo, which is rabbit, and Lemos is nothing, so she loses. The rabbit wins. Ruiz is 10-1 with 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's never been finished in a fight. She's 1-0 in the UFC. She's won 2 straight fights. She was 1-1 in Invicta before this. She's 6 years younger. She's a massive plus 400 dog on the board. Lemos is 9-1-1 with 6 knockouts, 2 submissions, 3-1 in the UFC. She's won 3 straight fights since dropping down to strawweight. She got a TKO win her last fight. She's 4 inches taller, 4 inches of reach, 6 times more active striker, but this is based off of one fight that Ruiz had in the UFC. What else can I tell you? She's minus 450. Despite the huge number, I will take her in this one. I think it's a pretty easy pick.
I'm going to go with Montserrat Ruiz.
Whoa, plus 400.
Let me ask you if you remember why I'm going with Montserrat Ruiz.
I remember.
I once hit Montserrat Ruiz for plus 275. So for the rest of her career in the UFC until she is fired from the UFC, I will always take Montserrat Ruiz. Look, and you're right. I think if we're making this pick, gun to your head, I think Amanda Lemos is fight. This is probably her fight, right? Like, she is a better fighter than Ruiz. She's more well-rounded than Ruiz. I mean, like, I think she's got a lot of things going for her. The thing is that, like, Ruiz, it is, like, very good at taking people down. She's really good at holding people down. She's, like, a pretty talented grappler. Now, do I think that's going to work against Amanda Lemos? Probably not. Like, she's stuffed just about every takedown she's ever seen. She's got a good submission game. But, you know, like, who has she fought that has even tried to take her down, right? Like, LaVia Souza didn't try to take her down. You know, like, she fought Mizuki in a way. Oa won. So, like, we haven't really seen people try to take her down. But I think that if Conejo does and has any success there, like, she could just wind up on top, similar to like she did last time. And at plus 400, like, look, I'm willing to roll the dice, and plus the fact that she gave me plus 275 earlier in the year. If she can give me plus 400, man, I might have to, like, change my Twitter name to something that's like a Montserrat Ruiz fanboy one.
Yes, or Conejo.
Or Canejo Stan or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Don't listen to Dan here. He's out of his mind. But nonetheless, blind loyalty. All right. We'll go to featherweights. I think this is we'll say this is the last fight on the main event of the prelims, but this card's kind of up in the air still. It's Billy Quarantillo versus Gabriel Mogli Benitez. Mogli wins because Quarantillo does not have a nickname. There's a
he
lot
was
of
my Billy Q.
Oh, yes, right. Well, yeah, that's worse than having no nickname. Billy Q is, let me see his record, 15-3 with 6 knockouts, 5 submissions, 3-1 in the UFC. He lost his last fight after winning his first 3. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series. He was 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter House. He's $2 taller, more active striker. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 180. Mogli, 22-8 with 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, 6-4 in the UFC. He won via TKO his last fight. That was his first win in his last 3. He's 1-2 over his last 3. Last 2 fights were at lightweight, and this one is down at featherweight. He was also 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. He's got an inch of reach, minus 210. I think you're going to go dog here. What are you thinking on that?
I'm going dog, too. Yeah, like Quarantillo in this one for a couple of reasons. You know, like mainly, man, I like Quarantillo on the feet here more than anything. He does concede kind of a lot of takedowns, which makes me nervous against somebody like Gabriel Benitez. But his output is so good. Like, I mean, like he just comes forward and throws, and he's got a good submission game. If he does wind up on his back, I mean, we watched him flatline Kyle Nelson in, like, a brutal way. I think he's got the power to tag him in a bunch of places. So, I mean, I like that about him. But also, you know, like, Benitez has just been, like, a very inconsistent guy. You know, like, losses to Sadiq Youssef and Omar Morales are kind of fine, but, like, that loss way back when to Enrique Barzola looked really bad. Like, I mean, like, Barzola is, I mean, he's serviceable, but he's not, like, a great opponent to have a loss to. Quarantillo, meanwhile, takes care of the people he should take care of fairly easily. You know, like, I think it's both his power and the fact that, like, if it does go to the ground, he's got good enough submissions to sort of defend himself against Benitez. Yeah, I like Quarantillo here, too.
I forgot, Benitez also, his last fight got canceled because he was 4.5 pounds overweight for the featherweight limit.
Right.
So, yeah, I forgot about that. He was 150 and a half. And they're letting him try to fight at featherweight again. So he may not even
Was that against Was that against my boy JSP?
Yes, it was against JSP.
I think I remember that. Pierce backed out of it, yeah.
There you go. So that's all the more reason to like the underdog here. Fighters who miss weight are only win 37% of the time so far this year. So if Mogli does come in heavy but within reasonable weight that the fight is allowed to happen, he's got diminished chances of winning. So, all right, so pretty straightforward prelim portion, at least how it stands now for us picking those fights. So at this point, our intern is going to our production assistant, our huge team is going to insert some lovely ads read by someone with a super sexy voice, I'm sure, and then we'll hit you back up with the main card right after that.
Let me tell you a little something about WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all of your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll get a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNBET.com and download that app today. And while we're at it, why don't I also tell you about PropSwap. We are brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on NBA championship tickets when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid in a price that you think is fair and then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be sold at any time with the click of a button, and PropSwap gives you the suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket is worth. Last week, a PropSwap customer sold a $500 40-1 Phoenix Suns championship ticket for $16,000 after the Suns went up 2-0 in the finals. That's a 30 times return for the seller and an adjusted odds of negative 400 for the buyer when every other sportsbook had the Suns at like negative 500. So with PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Think of it like the stock market, but for sports betting. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit at PropSwap and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. All right, guys, as Jeff told you at the beginning of the show, we taped this a little bit ahead of time due to Jeff going on a vacation. At this point in the podcast, you would usually hear a breakdown of Daniel Reyes and his original opponent, which is no longer his opponent. So we decided to strip that out here and just give you just straight up our pick on this fight, which is now Daniel Rodriguez versus Preston Parsons. Both me and Jeff are going to go with Daniel Rodriguez in this fight because, let's face it, short notice replacements don't have that good of an outcome most of the time. And in addition to that, if you're looking at Preston Parsons, he's just a guy who relies a little bit too heavily on his grappling. And both me and Jeff don't think that that's going to bode too well against Daniel Rodriguez. So in lieu of you listening to our breakdown on Daniel Rodriguez versus his original opponent, we're going to give you this shorter version right now and take Daniel Rodriguez at betting off at about negative 250. Now, back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
So damn good Rodriguez is the pick. The D stands for damn good. All right, we'll move on to what weight class? Middleweights. Rodolfo, the black belt hunter, Vieira versus Dustin Stoltzfus.
I think it's Stoltzfus, but yeah, Stoltzfus? Sure.
Oh, yeah. He should have some accents, don't you think?
It's got a very Germany sound to it, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
He should have an accent over the U, I think, if you ask me. But regardless, he's 13-2 with 2 knockout, 5 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series before this. 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, plus 210. The black belt hunter, 7-1 with 1 knockout, 6 submissions. He's never gone to decision in a fight, so you may want to pick this one in the distance, under 3 rounds. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He got subbed in his last fight. His last fight was brutal. I can't remember. Who was it against?
Anthony Hernandez. Fluffy.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Fluffy,
yes.
Hernandez.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that makes me pause here. He's multiple Brazilian jiu-jitsu champion. He's got quite the credentials heading into this. And last fight, he gassed out and got destroyed. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 225. Like, I want to pick him, but, yeah, that fight left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, but here's the thing I will say. I think he learned from it. He basically just gassed himself out, like, pouring his grappling onto Anthony Hernandez, who had a better gas tank than him and had way better striking than him, and then ultimately just got him to the point of exhaustion. Stoltzfus here is a guy who he likes to wrestle and certainly could tire you out, but, like, he's not going to, like, wow you on the feet like Hernandez can. And he just got, like, absolutely outworked by Kyle Daukaus. So, like, apart from, you know, to be honest with you, Stoltzfus likes to grapple. And I just think, like, unless he tires Vieira way out, he's gonna get bested there. So, yeah, I like Rodolfo pretty safely here, I would say, against Stoltzfus.
All right, there we go. I feel better now. Dan, that's what Dan's here for, to make me feel better about my picks. We'll go to Lightweights, Jeremy Lil Heathen Stevens versus Matthias Gamrot. Stevens was supposed to fight Drakkar Klose, and then he's a savage, so he pushed him at the weigh-ins and gave him a concussion. And but Dana White blamed the Mick, one of his minions, for not stepping in time, and then he said that Jeremy Stevens, I think he used the savage line that he likes to use.
I think we got savage here. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy Stevens. That makes Jeremy Stevens the savage for basically sucker knocking out someone. Jeremy Stevens doesn't want to fight him because he says he won the fight by knocking him out, pushing him, giving him a concussion at weigh-in. So anyhow, just thought I'd throw that out there. So Lil Heathens, 28-18 with one no contest. He's got 19 knockouts, two submissions. He's 15-17 with one no contest in the UFC. I swear, Dana White's got a thing for this guy. I don't know what the deal is, but he's got something incriminating on him, I think. Lil Heathen does, because he was trying to bail him out of jail on fight night years ago, I remember. Yeah, it's something's going on here. But most of his fights were at featherweight. This one is now at lightweight. He's moving up. He maybe because he's 0-4 with one no contest in his last five fights. He made his UFC debut way back in 2007. He's got an inch of reach, plus 200. Gamrot's nickname is Gamer. Oh, yeah, we didn't go with the nicknames. Screw Little Heathen. I don't like this guy. Gamer is the pick. Gamer Gamrot's the pick. Even though Little Heathen's one of those like classic names that everyone seems to know, but
yeah, I'm fine with you picking Gamer. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Gamer is 18-1 with one no contest. He's got six knockouts, four submissions, 1-1 in the UFC. He lost his debut and then won his last fight via KO. He was a double champ in KSW over in Poland. That's pretty impressive. He's an inch taller, 4 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 260. He is my pick. Stevens is washed.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gamrot, too. I think Stevens is less washed than people think he is. I mean, like, losses to Jose Aldo, Zabit Magomed Sharipov, Yair Rodriguez, and it was a close fight with Yair Rodriguez and Calvin Kattar. Man, dude, like, it's hard to say somebody's washed after that, but I do think he would have much rather fought Drakkar Klose here. I think fighting Matthias Gamrot is going to not be good for him. Gamrot goes in there and absolutely works people. He's got a great gas tank. He's got great submissions. I mean, like, I think once he gets you down, he beats the hell out of you. I expect him to get Jeremy Stevens down really quick. Whereas, like, Drakkar Klose has got decent wrestling too, but sometimes he forgets he does and just, like, slugs it out with, you know, like Beneil Dariush and gets knocked out, which was a possible option for Jeremy Stevens. He could have knocked him out similar to Beneil Dariush, but, like, I don't think that's going to happen here with a guy who was – his only loss came by split decision to Guram Kutataladze, and I think I had him winning that fight, but, like, even if you like Kutataladze to win that fight, like, that guy is a great up-and-coming prospect out of Georgia. So, like, man, I think Gamrot is, you know, head and shoulders above this guy, and I actually think Gamrot is probably pretty darn close to the top 15 at lightweight, too.
Oh, there we go. Maybe this will be the quote unquote big name win that he needs to propel him to that. So, all right, moving on. Speaking of big names, Miesha Tate is back. The former champion in the UFC is back for a women's bantamweight fight against Marion Renault. Is this Renault's retirement fight officially? I thought she announced that. Is that right?
I believe this is officially her retirement fight, yes.
Okay, because she's, what, 44 or something ridiculous like that?
She's older than Alexi Olenek. I do know that that's there you go. Which is just a fucking wild sentence.
All right, so we got Renault is the Belizean Bomber. Tate is Cupcake. I think Cupcake just because that's a well-known nickname for her since she's been around so long.
Yeah, it's a more unique nickname too. I mean, we got cheesecake.
It's iconic.
Those are the only two desserts, right? Cheesecake and cupcake.
It's true. Cheesecake. Yep. There you go. All right. Let's go with the Belizean Bomber first. 9-7-1 with five knockouts, three submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-6-1 in the UFC. She's lost four straight fights. 2 inches of reach on Tate. Striking and active striking stats in her favor. Plus 105. Cupcake is 18-7 with three knockouts, seven submissions, 5-4 in the UFC, lost two straight fights, has been out of action since November of 2016, and what, popped out a couple kids in that time too, I think, right? So
she does have a couple of kids now. Yep.
Yep. Yep. She, before all this, she was 6-2 in Strikeforce. She was the UFC and Strikeforce champions at bantamweight. She's 9 years younger, despite all this. She's 9 years younger than Renaud. Grappling stats in favor of -130. Assuming Tate is not just a shell of herself, I think she's got to be the pick here for me.
I think so, too. You know, I think I said it last week when we were talking about people with long layoffs, which there were a couple on last week's card. But the thing about breaking down somebody who's been away for that long is I think pretty much all you can do is break down what she used to be like. And you can make some assumptions, but like if you do too right. much assuming that she's trailed off or isn't herself or, you know, is going to look like a shell, I think doing too much of that can be detrimental. If she's anything like she was 5 years ago, with the exception of the Raquel Pennington fight where she looked like she didn't want to be in there, like her skills, if they're still there, are enough to take down Marion Renault pretty much at will and be on top for 15 minutes. You know, Renault has spent a lot of time on her back. She does have a pretty good triangle choke, which she's won by twice in the UFC. But, like, ultimately, I just think her grappling defense and her submission defense isn't good enough to catch Misha Tate, who is a phenomenal grappler. Like, she got taken down by Maisie Chaisson, Raquel Pennington, Yana Kunitskaya, 6 times by Kat Zingano, 2 times by Sarah McMahon, 3 times by Talita Bernardo, 2 times by Betch Kohea. Like, you would have to go all the way back to fighting Jessica Andrade, who used to be a bantamweight, believe it or not, all the way back in 2015 to find a fight where Marion Renault didn't get taken down, which just to me means Misha Tate's just going to do that at will.
Yep, I agree. So this has actually been a pretty easy card for us to make picks on, which means we could be
Other than the fact that you got the Montserrat Ruiz one wrong.
Probably wrong here.
Yeah, other than the one you got the Montserrat Ruiz yeah, one wrong? Yeah, because she's going to win plus 400.
Totally. Assuming that you don't go crazy with the main event here, I think we're going to be all on the same page other than your crazy loyalty pick.
All right, guys, and before we get to that fight, make sure you head on over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. That's right. Sign up right now for a free shot at $1 million using the Best Ball Mania 2 $25 contest. You're going to want to get in on that as quickly as possible. Download the app and sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Also, while you're at it, why not download the SGPN app, which is live now in the App Store and the Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all of our picks and podcasts and so much more. Don't forget to toss us a review and download the SGP app today.
Main event, lightweights, Islam Makhachev versus Thiago Moises. No nicknames for either guy that I know of, so that's a push. Moises, 15-4, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's 4 years younger than Makhachev, more active striker, and he's at plus 430, which is, you only should see odds this high for a main event, but this was kind of a makeshift main event. Makhachev, 19-1 with 3 knockouts, 8 submissions, 8-1 in the UFC. He's won 7 straight fights. He is a Sambo champion outside of MMA. He's an inch taller, striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, minus 650. He's an obvious pick for me once again. Easy peasy card.
Yeah, we can make this real quick, but, like, here's what I'll say. Moises does have good jiu-jitsu. I think there's always an opportunity for him to catch something off of his back here. I mean, he did ankle lock Michael Johnson, which is sort of worth noting off of his back. But he did also get taken down fairly easily a couple of times by Bobby Green. You know, he got taken down a couple of times by Kurt Hollibaugh, and he's about to step in there with who Khabib has said is kind of like the next Khabib. So, like, what more is there to break down? Like, he's going to be on his back. Unless you think he's going to catch Islam Makhachev off of his back, then you go with Makhachev here, because I mean, I think that's the only pick.
Yeah, Makhachev is pretty much the obvious pick here. I don't really see a path to victory for Moises. So, that being said, he's going to win the fight probably, but Makhachev is our pick here. So, do you have any props, parlays, anything you want to give out to the degenerates for this fight card, this lackluster fight card?
I mean, I think the main event going to decision is a safe pick. Like, if you are trying to get a little extra, and there's not a lot of props out because we're like I said, we're taping this a week and a half ahead of time, so a lot of the stuff that you would usually find is not there. But I do like Makhachev by decision, and you could probably get it down to, like, negative 200 or negative 300 at that point. So I like that. You know, if I'm looking for other props, like, I actually think Matrus Gamrot gets Jeremy Stephens out of there. I think he probably gets a finish in there. So that would probably be my other one, is you could probably get that darn near close to even money. But again, this is, of course, pending and waiting for when those lines actually come out.
Yep. So that's all the fights that we know of at this time. There may be a few last-minute ones added or taken off, obviously, or and they may find a person to fight. What? Not Darren Wynn. He pulled out. Who's looking for a fight? Phil Haas is.
Yeah, the one who I fade every single time he fights.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's too bad.
So if he finds an opponent, I bet Phil Haas, because I said I would bet Phil Haas from now on. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. All right. My turn for locks. I'm going to go with Miles Johns at minus 170 because we both agreed that's a pretty good comeback for him. So on the line. So I'll take him minus 170 over Dos Santos.
And I'm going to take Rodolfo Vieira.
Okay.
Yeah, not a brilliant number where it's at, but good enough that, like, it's going to pad one in my win column because Vieira is going to win this one.
Yep. So, yeah, not the greatest fight card on paper, but a lot of times they're the ones that end up being the funnest to watch because you'll get a bunch of craziness. So, Dan will be back with a recap of this. I will still be away for the recap portion. And then I will be back the following week to get you up to speed on UFC on ESPN, Sanhagen versus Dillashaw. Just to mention, other than the main event, Corey Sanhagen versus TJ Dillashaw making his long-awaited return from his drug suspension. Some interesting women's fights on this card, I think, would jump off the page most to me. Aspen Ladd versus Macy Chaisson and Macy Barber versus Miranda Maverick. I think they're the two that jump off the most, other than the main event, to me. Have you looked at that card yet?
I mean, I love Randy Costa versus Adrian Yanez. That's a fight a lot of people have been calling for a great deal of time.
Oh, right,
I'm glad it finally got booked. So that's exciting. I'm also excited to see Ian Heinisch versus Nassourdine Imavov because I've been kind of big on Imavov, and he kind of underperformed last time out. So I'll be excited to see what he can do against Heinisch.
And I just actually got an email that we can talk about as we go out of here. So rumors that Nick Diaz is coming back to fight Robbie Lawler. Did you hear that?
I did indeed hear that. I've seen it all over Twitter for the last little while.
Yeah, they may come out and fight. What are the odds of that fight, Dan? Because what did it open at and what is it now? Because it's already moved since it opened.
Ooh, you've got the opening line on that prospective fight already. I'm going to say, I think I'm actually going to say Nick Diaz is a favorite on some weird, terrible line. But I'll say Nick Diaz negative 145.
Nick Diaz plus 210.
Okay, that's what it should be. I'll be honest.
However,
that's what it should be.
It's moved though. Lawler's only minus 170 now, and Diaz is plus 145. So
okay, that's still about where I'm still fine with that number.
And this is a rematch, 17 years in the making.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is insane. So yeah, it has not been officially announced yet or anything like that. So I'm not holding my breath. We'll wait, but maybe now that you. It was always marijuana that was causing issues for Diaz, so maybe now he can fight in Vegas again. Maybe he actually will come back. Of note, his last fight was January 31st, 2015, where he tested positive for marijuana and he lost to Anderson Silva. His last win was BJ Penn October 29th, 2011. Just thought I'd throw that out there. So it's been over a decade since it's been about a decade since he's won a fight, so. There you have it. All right, let's put this one to bed. Thank you all for coming and listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, our specific feed. Don't if you listen to us on the SGPN feed, if you can find the MMA Gambling Podcast feed and listen on there instead, that would help us out greatly. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer. Dan would be Gumby Vreeland. Make sure you bet $100 on all of our picks because you're going to win lots of money, and then you can thank us on Twitter, obviously. Other than that, what else should you do? Go to MMA-Manifesto.com, enter our pick'em contest, read all our articles, read all our stuff on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, download the app, listen to all, every show that they post. I think that's all I tell you that you have to do. I'm going to let Dan say goodbye, see if he has anything interesting to say goodbye to us with this week.
I have the same interesting thing I have to say every week. And I'm Daniel Gumby-Reland. He's Juicy Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.